It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend show, we're pleased to be joined by one of the new supervisors for Tuolumne County, District 3 Supervisor Anaya Kirk. Last week, we heard from Supervisor for District 2, Ryan Campbell. And this week, we're pleased to be joined in studio by Supervisor Kirk. Supervisor Kirk, congratulations on the election and thank you for coming on Motherlode Views.
Great. Yeah, thank you for having me, BJ. And thank you for Clark Broadcasting for hosting me this morning.
Well, it's great to have you in studio for the first time as a Tuolumne County supervisor here. So for people who aren't familiar with your background, since you're a new supervisor, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Miwok Village and went to school locally. I went to Motherlode Christian up until about my junior year and then Somerville High my senior year. While I was in school, I met my wife, Amy, I believe in about fourth grade. And in fifth grade, I told my brother I was going to marry her. And so long story short, I kept my promise, and I went to CSU Stanislaus State, got my bachelor's degree in criminal justice with a concentration in criminal law. And then when I got out of college, I married my wife, and we started a family here. And so that's kind of just my background in a nutshell. As far as work goes, I started off working in Merced County as a probation officer. And then after doing that for about a year, I transferred to Sierra Conservation Center, where I start off as a correctional officer and then promoted my way up from a correctional counselor one to a CC2 supervisor, correctional counselor supervisor. And that's my current classification there. And then, I mean, on the side, soccer coach, you know, was a youth pastor at my church for a while. I just resigned from that once I started as a supervisor, but just born and raised in the community, backpacking, skiing, fishing, doing everything that this place offers. I've been doing that since I was a kid.
So how was your first campaign experience?
My first campaign experience. Well, it was a year long. You know, a lot of people don't realize when you're elected as a supervisor, it starts before you're elected. I believe January 12th of last year is when I decided I was going to run for office. So really, you know, you don't start until January 7th. I didn't start till January 7th, but the whole year before that was just a huge learning curve, diving into the issues, understanding where we sit at with certain issues, meeting new people. I think being, you know, when you're born and raised in this community, you do have a connection with people, but there's still that whole gap where you have to really get your name recognition. People got to understand who you are and what you stand for. And so just pushing that, door knocking was a huge, task to undertake. I was out door knocking every day after work, going to certain community meetings, just reaching out to homeowners associations. So it was really just diving into the community for last year and finding out what the needs were, but then also telling people who you are and what you're about and what you stand for. And, you know, if people like it, great. If not, then I'm not the guy for it. But, it was a huge learning experience. And I really learned a lot. I drove hundreds of miles of roads. I've been on every road in District 3. So that was great to learn. And, yeah, there's still a lot to learn, but it's a good experience.
It's a big step to run for county supervisor. What was it that made you want to get involved with county government?
It's a funny question. First of all, I never wanted to be in politics. I love reading about it. I love, you know, news clips and articles. I love listening to talk radio, and, you know, my grandfather's a World War II vet. So I've always, you know, stayed in tune kind of like as a citizen, but I never wanted to run for supervisor. But, you know, working in law enforcement, working with youth in this community, having children, young children in this community, I got a lot of skin in the game, I believe. So what the initial thing that got me to stand up was when I saw where I felt the board was taking the community as far as, you know, marijuana, as far as it being legalized, our county, you know, the local jurisdictions have the option to decide how they're going to implement if they're going to allow large cultivation grows or if they're not. And so the gist of it was I saw the potential for us to what I believe was open up a big door that was going to be hard to shut. And it wasn't going to be a good door. It was going to increase the crime rate. It was going to increase youth using, you know, the product. And so the gist of it was I wanted to keep our community safe. I wanted to keep our young people thriving. It's already hard, I believe, as it is for a young person to kind of make it through their teen years. So anything I could do, first of all, as a citizen, to stand up and say, hey, look, this isn't the direction we should go. That was first and foremost why I jumped up. But then there were a lot of issues along the way that I dove into that were just as important.
That marijuana issue was something that you did talk about a lot on the campaign. What would you like to see the county do moving forward when it comes to marijuana?
Moving forward, you know, whatever the state mandate is, we have to adhere to that. You know, we got to abide by the law, but I don't want to go any farther than that. Right now, it's a federal violation. Right now, there's a lot of information coming out from Colorado, from Oregon, and from other municipalities within California where people are realizing this isn't a good deal as far as for allowing major cultivations and big grows. And so as a board member, you know, I got to look at all the information coming before me. I have to be fair and impartial. But right now, as it sits with all the research I've done, is whatever the minimum is that the state's requiring, that's what I'm going to adhere to.
District 3, as you mentioned, your new district, you drove every single road of District 3. For people who aren't familiar with that district, where does it all cover?
Well, it's all the way from the top of Sonora Pass down the 108 corridor. So you got all, you know, Pinecrest, Strawberry, you have Tween Heart, Sierra Village, Long Barn, Tween Heart, and then it wraps around through part of Soulsbyville, out through Woodham Carn, part of Tuolumne City, Ponderosa Hills. So it's a huge landmass as far as the districts go.
When you went to knock on doors and meet with district residents, what were some of the big concerns that you heard about?
The number one concern was roads. And I get it. People want the basics from government. They want the roads fixed. The other one, you know, surprisingly, you know, growing up in this community, you want business attraction. You want young people staying here and thriving. But there seems to be a smaller crowd who's very vocal about not wanting good economic growth, not wanting good development for the places we can develop. And so something very surprising to me when I was door knocking was a lot of people in the community don't feel that way. They want good economic development. They want young people staying here. They want people building homes and having affordable housing. And so for me, it was encouraging to hear that. And so as I sit on the board and I hear these people and I respect them for their opinions, but they're not necessarily representing, you know, the entire district.
Having a young family, you know, what would be some of the ways that you think the county can take steps to kind of make it easier for young people to stay and make it more desirable for young people to stay?
Something that comes up a lot, of course, is affordable housing. And so the idea of affordable housing really isn't existent. I do have some ideas that I'm going to bring to the board and to the building department in the near future. As we get through some of these other priorities that we have on our list, I do have some ideas for affordable housing. So I'm looking forward to addressing that. Another big thing that would help young people stay here is having broadband, access to broadband. And right now, you know, a lot of people my age are leaving. You know, I think we grew by 15 people last year. It either grew or shrunk by 15 people. But imagine if we could bring in a couple satellite offices every year, 20, 30, 40 people. Well, you do that over the course of 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you open up hundreds of jobs, local jobs, good paying jobs for young people. So broadband's a big part of that. And then again, I come back to the issue with, you know, with marijuana. The more we promote that in our community, the statistics show the more we are going to have youth using it. And so that's going to affect mental health. That's going to affect behavioral health. And so if we want to help our young people, we got to decide where we want to stand on issues like that.
That road issue that you mentioned earlier, are you optimistic over the next 4 years, your term in office, that there can be some impacts and some positives when it comes to roads?
Yeah, I do. With SB1, you know, we had the funding. I know back in November, some opposition came against it. And I'll be the first to say, I don't want to keep getting taxed for roads. Instead of building, you know, multi-billion dollar trains, I'd rather see our legislators give our communities more of the basic, which is we just want more funding for roads. But with the SB1 monies, yes, we will have more funding for road. We're going to have to hire some more people. I like to see some more technology-based solutions. Instead of just running from pothole to pothole, actually have some technology making the decisions as far as timelines and scheduling and prioritizing these projects. And I do believe we're going down that road. So it's not going to be fast, but I think we are going to see some progress on roads in the near future.
Technology-based decisions, you mean like computer programs to figure out where the hardest hit areas are?
Well, like simple things like instead of going from one, you know, just reacting from this pothole to that pothole, having a system where, you know, you can take a picture of the pothole, you can ping it to a database. So now the database says, hey, on this date, this pothole or this culvert pipe was fixed, and it'll schedule, you know, for when it's going to have to be readdressed or relooked, you know, maybe 5-10 years down the road, instead of just bouncing from, you know, we're basically putting out fires from what I'm understanding with the road department. And so if we, as we get more staff and as we get more money, trying to be a little bit more strategic with those funds, and we have the right people in place. Our staff are amazing. They have great ideas. They just need the time and the resources to do it.
Need to take a quick break. We're joined by Supervisor Anaya Kirk, who represents District 3 on this weekend's Mother Lode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. A programming note, next week on Mother Lode Views, we'll be joined in studio by District Attorney Laura Krieg. She'll tell us about crime trends in the community. Mother Lode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.